Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms.
The 71st Psalm in your Scofield Bible, page 632. And beginning with the 9th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 21. Psalm 71, verses 9 through 21, page 632. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this God's Word. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. And together on verse 21, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And let's pray. And Father, do a work today in our hearts and our lives. We ask for the precious presence of thy Holy Spirit. We ask for the power that comes from being in tune with thee. We ask that thou wouldst bless our preacher and help us to carefully listen to the word as it's preached and to govern our lives according to the truths that we learn. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now this is Lord's Supper Day. I always say this, nearly always. I will finish preaching not 1 minute later than 12:10. You need not worry. I probably will not finish preaching 1 minute before 12:10 either. But you need not worry. You don't have to wonder what time we're going to get out. I promise you, and I always keep that promise, that I will not finish my sermon 1 minute later than 12:10. Normally, I start preaching about 11 minutes earlier than this. So I'll finish before 12:10. I also promise you that the closing prayer will be spoken before by 12:30. That's a promise, so you don't have to sit there and wonder, oh brother, how much longer is it going to be? I'm telling you how much longer it's going to be. I'll be finished by 12:10. We'll be out by 12:30, and that's my promise to you. So I want you to sit up straight, look right this way, and pay attention. I want to speak this morning on what I want to do with the rest of my life. What I want to do with the rest of my life. I realize that most of my life is over. I realize that most of my ministry in this church is past. I realize that I do not have 30 more years to pastor this church. I do not know how many more years I have. For as I know, I'm in good health, considering my blood pressure, my biorhythm, my pulse rate, my heartbeat, and my weight, and my height, and my size, and my liver trouble, and my gallbladder condition, and my stomach ulcers, and my failing heart, and my fallen arches, and my fallen hair. Other than that, I think I'm in tremendous shape. I want to see Brother Ault after the service, if I could, please. But there's some things I want to do the rest of my life, with the rest of my life. If you'd let me just sort of tell you those plans, I'd appreciate it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as we come to this rather devotional service of our month, the Lord's Supper Day, when we sort of sit around the table together as a family and Daddy sits at the head and talks a while, I pray you'd bind us as a unit, as we always have been, and sanctify this hour, please, in a special way. Amen. Open your Bibles again to Psalm 71. Keep them open in your lap there. I'll ask you to look at a verse or two with me throughout the message. Psalm 71. I'll wait for you until you can find it. And once you've found it, just keep your Bible open there. No need to look at it now. We'll read a few verses as we go throughout the message this morning. All right, right this way. David is an old man. He has burdens that he is too old to bear. He has enemies that he is too old to fight. A child has disappointed him. In fact, two children disappointed him. In fact, three or four. But even at this time, in his old age, a child has severely disappointed him and broken his heart. And David comes to say in this 71st Psalm, he says, I am an old man. He said, I'm old and gray-headed. But he says there are four things I'd like to do with the rest of my life. I want to call to your attention this morning those four things that David said he wanted to do with the rest of his life. I want you to notice, if you would please, in verse number 14 of the 71st Psalm, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Look at me. The first thing that David said he wanted to do with the rest of his life is give more praise to God. David looked back over his life, and David said, I will praise thee more and more. I used to wonder about that. Looks like to me young folks would praise God more than old people. They used to say to me, Brother Hiles, you're young now, you're excited, and you holler while you preach, but you'll calm down someday. Well, I'm 63 years old now, and I've calmed up instead of calmed down. He used to say to me, I remember a fellow said to me, he said, you preach like that, you won't last 5 years. Well, I've almost made 5 years now. I've made 42 and a half years of preaching, and I was praising God last night. Think about that. One man said to me, he said, you'll wear your voice out in 5 years. I was 21 years of age. He said, son, you better take care of that voice. You better not holler and scream. You'll wear that voice out in 5 years. And I was thinking last night, over 48,000 times. 48,000 times I've preached. And my voice is as clear this morning as it was when I was 21 years of age. How good God has been. And David said, I'll praise thee more and more. He has more reasons to praise the Lord now than he had before. He has more mercies of God for which to praise him than he had when he was young. When David was a lad tending the sheep in the backside of the wilderness, David had a lot to praise God for, but now that David's an old man, he said, I've got more to praise God for now than ever before. David looks back and remembers the victories that God had given him. Maybe as he strokes his white, graying hair, maybe he remembers that day when he took those five stones and that slingshot, took that one stone and hurled it toward Goliath's head and won the victory over the Philistine army. And he says, I'll praise thee more and more. He remembers, no doubt, that time when he looked out his window when he should have been fighting and working. Looked out and he saw Bathsheba there bathing on the roof of the house next door. And lust gripped his soul and David sinned. And David comes to the old age of his life and says, thank God for your forgiveness. And thank God for your mercy. And thank God for your victories. And thank God for the strength. May I testify this morning as an older man, I do not recall growing old. Yesterday, I used to be the young preacher everywhere I went. Yesterday, Dr. Rice was the old preacher, and I was the young man. And now, in a few days, I've become an older man, and I qualify for Social Security already now, and I can really get a bundle of it when I'm about 2 years and a half from now. But I'd like to testify how good God's been to me. As I look back over these days, I can say I'll praise Him more and more. You know, I shout more than ever shouted in my life. I have a fit, just throw a fit. You've heard me tell about that motel room I was in Philadelphia. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I made a trampoline out of the bed, and I hadn't took my shoes off. I can shout better with my shoes off. I don't know why. But But I notice some of you ladies can sing better with your shoes off. You can play the organ better with your shoes off. But I took my shoes off and got up on the bed, made a trampoline out of the bed. And I was praising God and shouting and saying, Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And all of a sudden somebody knocked on the door. I said, Who is it? He said, The fellow in the next room. I said, What do you want? He said, What's going on in there? I said, I'm praising God. He said, Why don't we sleep tonight and praise God in the morning? I said, Come on in. Let's praise God tonight and sleep in the morning. And the older I get, the more I praise the Lord. And I want to spend the rest of my life just giving Him more praise. I want God to get more praise in the last years of my life than He's had in the first years of my life. And I want to lead you to praise God more also. I want to spend the rest of my life leading you to praise Him more and more. I thought a while ago, I looked out and I saw you weeping during the Lord's Supper. And I said, Dear God, I hope I led them to love you more today. I hope the words that I spoke and the way we had the Lord's Supper, I hope the people are loving you more right now than they would have if I hadn't been up here. I want this church to fall in love with Jesus. I want this church to exalt Him more than we ever have exalted Him. And David said, I'm an old man. I'm gray-headed. I wish I were gray-headed. I'm pig-headed. I wish I were gray-headed. But he said, Oh, man, and I'm gray-headed. But he said, I don't care. I'm going to praise you more and more. I'm going to shout your praises and exalt you and love you and adore you and honor you and worship you more than ever have before. And I want to spend the rest of my life trying to cause you to love Him more and more. I want to get not only more praise from myself to Him, but I want to lead you to praise Him more than we've ever praised Him before. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If there's a church in this world has a right to jump up and down and say, Praise the Lord this morning, it's the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. If there's a preacher alive that has a right this morning to stand up and lift his hands toward heaven and say, Glory be to God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow, it's the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I want to spend the rest of my life giving more praise to God. But there's something else David said. Look at verse 18, if you would please, in that 71st Psalm. Verse number 18. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. I'll stop right there for this point. David said, I want to spend the rest of my life. I'm old and gray-headed now. I want to spend the rest of my life giving more praise to God. And then he said, I want to spend the rest of my life giving more strength to my generation. That's what he said, giving more strength. He said, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. I want to spend the rest of my life showing you the strength of God. Now notice he didn't say, I want to spend the rest of my life telling you about the strength of God. It's rather easy to stand up here and tell you that God is able. It's easy to stand up here and tell you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It's easy to stand up here and tell you, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you that, but I want to spend the rest of my life showing you that. Those of you who are older and weaker, I know what it is now to get out of bed and put your foot lightly on the floor because of arthritis. I know what it is for the wake, when you wake up in the morning and you wonder whether you're here or there or whether you're anywhere. I know what it is. And I want to spend the rest of my life showing you folks who have been with me all these years and those of you that are of my generation, I want to spend my life showing you the strength of our God. I want to spend the rest of my life showing you folks that have burdens and heartaches and problems. I have burdens and heartaches and problems. I want to spend the rest of my life showing you that you can keep on going. I don't mean saying you can keep on going. I want to keep on going when the burdens come to me and say to you, I want to show you God's strength. I want to show you God's goodness. I want to show you God's help. I want to spend the rest of my life showing you, you who have burdens and heartaches. I want to spend the rest of my life showing you when enemies try to destroy you, I want to show you by demonstration that you can keep on going. You don't have to turn back. I want to show you. Those of you that have children who are ill, like we do, I want to show you you can keep on going. I want to show you the strength of God. David said, I've got enemies after me, but I want to show my generation God's strength. Let me testify to you, brother. The strength that's talked about in this Bible is true. It's true.
It's real. It's real. I know it's real. God's strength for my generation. I want to spend, I don't care what kind of house I live in, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a pretty good place for me over there. I don't care what kind of car I drive. I don't care what kind of conditions in which I live. I'm only concerned I want to spend the rest of my life saying to all of you, this great sea of faces that sits before me every Sunday morning, I want to say to you, there's a God who's alive, and His strength is real, and His power is real. I want to show those who don't know how to face tomorrow, I want to show you, you can face tomorrow. I want to show you that who are tired and weary, I want to show you that you can receive strength from God. I want to show you that Isaiah 41 is true. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When I came here 30 years ago, 31 years now this coming August, I could not tell you or show you the things I can show you now. I worry about you. I worry what's going to happen when I'm gone. I hate to see a young man come in here that can't love you like I love you. I hate seeing a man here that doesn't know you like I know you. I watched the men walk down the aisle a while ago, the deacons, and I can hardly control myself with emotion as I realize the burdens of those men that walk down the aisle. And a young man comes in here. Oh, he might could be a better preacher than I, might be stronger than I. He might be better looking than I. I don't think he would, but he might be better looking than I. But tell you one thing, he couldn't love you like I love you. And I want to show you. I want to show you. I watch the children sing in the choirs up here on Sunday, on Wednesday night. And they never sing, but what I wonder, will I be here when they grow up? Will I get to marry them? Will I get to pray for their children? I want to spend the rest of my life showing you that it's real. I want to show you that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I want you to say, when you look back on these years, you young folks look back on these years, remember the days when Brother Hiles was there and that behind that pulpit preaching, I want you to be able to say, I saw those years when First Baptist Church was packed and crammed and packed on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and when the people flooded the aisles as they will after a while, I want you to be able to say, there used to be a man who preached here that didn't tell us about the goodness of God. He showed us the goodness of God. He didn't tell us about the strength of God. He showed us the strength of God. He didn't tell us you could bear under your burden. He showed us that you could bear under your burden. David's an old man, and David's facing some battles and problems. He was too old to face, and burdens is too old to bear, and enemies is too old to fight. And David said, I'm an old man. He said, I can recall the blessings of God when I was young. But he said, in the first place, in the years I have left, I want to give more praise to God, and I want to give more strength to my generation. Here's the third thing he said. David said, not only do I want to give more praise to God in my last years and more strength to my generation in these last years, but David said, number three, I want to give more power to the generation to come. I want to give more power to the generation to come. I don't want to tell you people about the revivals of Spurgeon. I don't want to tell you people, young people, about what I read in history. Psalm 44, I think it is, verse 1, says, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us. We have heard with our ears how that the Jews were delivered from bondage by crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. Our fathers have told us. We've heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us about how that the manna came from heaven like a frost every morning. And God sent little one-a-day vitamin tablets from the glory world. We've heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us how that Moses took the rod and smote the rock in Horeb. And there gushed out enough water to take care of 3.5 million Jews probably for 40 years. We've heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us how that God gave them quail to eat, and God let them cross the Jordan River, and God made their enemies to fall before their feet, and God made the walls of Jericho to fall down. We've heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, and the psalmist said, we've heard, we've heard, we've heard. He said, it's time to show, and it's time to see. I don't want to tell you about the great churches of yesterday, bless God. I want to show you a great church of today. I don't want to tell you about the many converts they had
in the Spurgeon's Tabernacle and the Moody Church in Chicago and the Chicago Gospel Tabernacle and the great Church Cato Tabernacle in Annapolis. I want in 1990, as an older man, I want to show you there is a God in heaven. His power is as much available today as it ever was.
I want to show it to you. David said, I'm an older man now. Many a battle I've fought. Many a scar on this body, he said. Many a mistake I've made. But he said, as I look back over my life and see the mercies of God, I praise Him more and more. As I see His forgiveness, I praise Him more and more. As I see the battles that He's given me and the victories He's given me, I praise Him more and more. He said, I want to give more praise to my God, and I want to give more strength to my generation. But He said, I want to give more power to the generation to come. I want you to be able to say, you young people, you young Hiles Anderson College students, and somebody out yonder 50 years from now is reading a book that this good man is helping us to publish, my sermons. I want you to be able to say, I was there. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. The mighty power of God, I saw it. And I want to leave to you the heritage and the inheritance of a powerful God. And I want to remind you today that power is available for you today as it was for Dwight Moody back yonder 100 years ago. I remember as a young preacher, I used to walk the sand hills of East Texas, 21, 22, 23 years of age. I used to read with a flashlight at night, walking the sand hills of East Texas. I used to read about Moody and the great church he had in Chicago. It never dawned on me that this auditorium would be bigger and crowds would come here more than ever came to Moody Church. I couldn't shine his shoes. But I pastored a greater church of people than he did, I think. But I used to walk the sand hills of East Texas, a little church. You could have rebuilt it for $4,000. I used to put a flashlight on the life of Dwight Moody, and I used to look up and I'd say, oh, God, is what he had available today? Is what happened to him on Wall Street that day when he was stricken by the Holy Spirit and fell on his face and begged God to hold off until he could get a loan. And he goes to the home of a friend, and there the mighty power of God comes on him. I used to say, oh my God, is that available? It happened to Moody in New York City. Could it happen to a little country preacher in East Texas? Could it happen to me in the sand hills and the pine thickets of East Texas? I used to read the life of Charles G. Finney and read about the great meetings that he had and the great services he had, how hundreds of people got saved through his ministry. And I used to put a little flashlight on that in the pine thickets of East Texas at night. All night long I'd walk and pray, oh my God, is what happened to him available today? Is what happened to Peter Cartwright when he preached his first sermon and Christmas Evans? What happened to him when he fell off his horse on a circuit is what happened to Wesley at 4 o'clock one morning. And what happened to Whitfield when Bishop Benson laid his hands on him and was ordained? Is that available now for me in 1947, in 1948, in 1949, in 1950? Is it still available? And bless God, I found out it is. And I want to say to young people that look now and say, could God ever bless me like He blessed those men? I want to tell you tonight, every promise in this book is as valid as it was 100 years ago. Every bit of God's power they had in the book of Acts, you can have today. And I want to spend the rest of my life convincing a young group of preacher boys at Hiles Anderson College that God's mighty power is still available. And I only want to tell you about it, I want to show it to you. I want to spend the rest of my life showing it to you. I want you one day in the future when my picture's added to these out here, folks come by and look at it and say, what years was he there? He said, Brother Hiles came to pastor the church in 1959. And he was here however many years I'll get to be here. I want to leave you a heritage that our God is a powerful, miracle-working God. Everything that Paul had in the book of Acts, you can. I get so sick and tired of these people chopping the Bible up in pieces. Well, that was for the other age. Well, Bless God, I like what Vance Havner said. He said, old country preacher said, Lord, give me this and give me that and give me the power. Somebody walked up and said, that's not for this age. He said, good night, I had the power of God 3 years before I found out it wasn't for me. Now you just come to God and don't you chop it in pieces and you just get a verse and you hold it up and say, there it is, what you going to do about it? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Spurgeon lives today and He'll live when I'm gone also. I want to spend the rest of my life showing you. David looks back at his victories, his strengths, his weaknesses, his successes, his mistakes. His long white hair, no doubt, flows in the wind. Pulls it back with his fingers and his furrowed brow and his wrinkled face and his stooped shoulders. Those arms that once took a sling and hurled a stone at Goliath and won the victory of the Philistine armies. It's now palsied. It's no longer strong. Those hands that took a lion and a bear and killed them barehanded, those hands are now trembling. That fair face that once could woo any woman he wanted is now wrinkled and furrowed. The hair that once was beautiful and the face that once was called ruddy, now the hair is graying and the face is old and the marks of life are upon it. And David said, don't know how many years I have left now, but said, tell you what I want to do with them. I want to spend the years giving more praise to my God. I want to spend the years giving more strength, showing the strength of God to my own generation. And then David said, I want to spend the rest of my life showing the power of God to the next generation. There's a fourth and last thing. David said, not only do I want to spend the rest of my life showing more praise to my God, more strength to my generation, more power to the generation to come, but he said, I want to spend the rest of it. It's going to shock you. I want to give more greatness to myself, David said. What, David? More greatness to yourself? Look, if you would, please, at verse 21. David said, thou shalt increase my greatness. David said, Lord, look at me. He said, increase my greatness. Now, was David saying, make me famous? No, he wasn't saying that. Was David saying, make me a well-known preacher? No, he wasn't saying that. Was he saying, make me the mightiest king in the world? He wasn't saying that. He said, make me greater. Now, what was he saying? He was saying, my people need me to be greater. My people need me to be greater. Those that follow me need me more. I've been preaching at this church a long time, 31 years nearly. I don't care about any fame. I don't care about any power. I just want to be what you need me to be. I guess I've wept more tears in the last month about that one thing than I have in my life. I want to be what you need me to be. I can't be all you want me to be. I can't go to all the banquets. I can't. There are too many hundreds of them. I can't go to all the activities. I can't be like a preacher could be that has a 400 or 500 people. I can't do that. So I cannot be what you want me to be. But I want to be what you need me to be. And my prayer for months now has been, God, make me greater. Make me greater. Greater because you can have more authority? No. Greater because you want more power? No. Greater because you want more authority? No. No. Greater because the people I've lived with and loved for 30 years, they need a stronger preacher. They need more power. They need more help. They need more comfort. They need more Bible. They need more strength. Think about that good man, Mr. Dolan, today in the hospital. For years, as I come out of superintendent's meeting on Wednesday night to walk over here to the midweek service, Mr. Dolan has met me there outside the fellowship hall. His two little boys are there. And for years they've met me there, and he smiled and shaken my hand and passed a word with me. And each boy walked up, and he, for years has given me every Wednesday night a Reese peanut butter cup. And it's like so many things here. They're rituals that I love. I dreaded to walk out last Wednesday night. I did. I dreaded to walk out because Mr. Dolan, the accident, surgery on his face and surgery on his hip. They say it'll be a year maybe before he'll be back to normal if he ever is. And I dreaded to walk out. Was I pleased and surprised when the boys were there anyway? And they gave me a Reese's peanut butter cup. I want to be, the rest of my life, able to comfort you more than I've ever comforted you. I want the Holy Spirit to give me sermons that you need more than I've ever been able to give in my life. I want you to walk to this watering trough and feeding trough. And I want to be greater. Greater so I can be powerful? No. Greater so I can be popular? Oh, no, that's all behind me now. I want to be greater because you need me to be greater. And so I do not know how many years I'll have. If God lets me live as long as Lee Robertson, I may have another 10, 12 years pastoring this church. God lets me live as long as Spurgeon, I'll be dead 2 years ago. But however many years, whether it's 1 week or whether it's 20 years, I want to praise Him more. I want to show to my generation His strength more. I want to show to you young people His power more. And I want for myself more greatness. When I had my little problem at Bob Jones University, for 3 hours I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who the President of the United States was. And when I came back to where I was aware, John Stancil was standing over me, and I said, I said, John, did I say anything I shouldn't have said? Did I say anything that would magnify the Savior? I didn't, did I, John? He said, no. I said, John, what did I say? He said, preacher, you kept saying, my people need me. My people need me. I've got to come out of this. My people need me. So whatever years God gives me, I want to praise Him more and more. I want to give Him more praise. I want to give my generation more strength. I want to give the younger generation more power. And I want to give to all of you more greatness for myself. To those of you here this morning and you're not saved, that's what all this is about. That's the purpose of all of it. You wonder why we run all these buses? You know why? Huh? I'll tell you why. We love to run them. You know why we run all these buses? I'll tell you why. Our people love to get out in the snow and walk from house to house and get doors slammed in their face. That's fun. Some folks eat ice cream. We don't. We get doors slammed in our face. Some folks watch a ball game. We don't. We love to be out in the snow and the sleet. You know why I run these buses? For you. You're not saved. We want you to go to heaven when you die. We don't want you to go to hell. That's what it's all about. This morning, if you're not saved, let me tell you something. I'd like to, as I show my own people, my own generation, I'd like to show them by demonstration the strength that God gives. I'd like to show the younger generation by demonstration the power that God gives. I'd also like to show you by demonstration how wonderful it is to be a child of God. How wonderful it is. I go back to that little lady who sat right up there one day, Spanish speaking, couldn't understand a word I said. Sat right up there. Had a wall here then. She walked down the aisle. I tried to talk to her and I couldn't. One of our Spanish speaking people went over and wanted a Christ. Came back and said, Brother House, she just got saved. And through the interpreter, I talked with her. And I said, ma'am, I know why you got saved because they told you, but why did you come down the aisle? Could you hear anything I said? She said, I heard it, but didn't understand it. Didn't understand a word you said. Well, I said, then what made you walk the aisle? And this lady standing there in a mink coat, obviously with some means, she said, because it looks so good. It looks so good. She said, my nephew died, 4-year-old nephew. I came to his funeral a few days ago. I couldn't understand what you said, but I could see the tears. I could hear the pathos in your voice. She said, it looks so good. This morning, I hope that maybe our joy we have here and the enthusiasm we have and the excitement we have, I hope you folks are not saved. I hope it looks good. May I tell you one thing? It sure do feel good. And I hope it looks good. Why don't you this morning say, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. So I think I'll spend the rest of my life trying to give more praise to God, more strength to my generation, more power to the following generation, more greatness to myself so I can help you better, and salvation to those of you that do not know the Savior. This morning, make this the moment when you trust Him. In a few moments, the choir is going to stand, and we're all going to stand. The choir is going to sing. I want every one of you all over this great building, you've never trusted Christ. You don't know if you died, you'd go to heaven. I want you to leave your seat back in the corner of the balcony or on the corners and back in the lower floor, anywhere. All of us in the mezzanine, in the balcony. I want you to leave your seat when we stand and sing. I want you to come down these aisles, and somebody will be at the end of each aisle. Just tell them that you want to receive Christ today. You're tired of wondering if you died, if you'd go to heaven or hell. You don't have to wonder, bless God. You can know. You come down the aisle. Let us show you the way to heaven this morning. If you've been saved, have not yet been baptized since you got saved, then I ask you to come. And if you want to make this your church home, before you come, let me warn you, it's a fundamental church. No bones about it. No pussyfooting around here. Don't want you to get in by false pretense and get in something you didn't know what it was. Now, I want you to know this. We believe every word in this book is the Word of God. Every word of it. Heaven that has golden streets, a hell that has fire, and a salvation that's real, and a Christ that's virgin born, and the sinless Lamb of God. We invite you to come. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Do not be rude by leaving this morning during the song, the invitation. Do not be rude. You think, I don't like it. God hates it. So you stay where you are unless you're coming forward. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing the first stanza. Burst out of your seat all over this great crowd. Walk down these aisles and say yes to God. Do it now as the choir sings. Don't wait. Come on.